Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Buck Brief. On this episode, Jeremy Carl joins us. He has a really interesting new book out, The Unprotected Class, How Anti-White Racism is Tearing America Apart. He's also a Claremont Institute fellow. Jeremy, thank you so much for being with us. I'll just start with this. You're writing a book that you're not allowed to write. How is that going?
Well, Buck, it was kind of a challenge. And it was one of the things where I didn't originally even try to shop this to any of the big, non-conservative publishers. I went straight to Regnery because with a topic like this, I wasn't going to get in a war with what I was allowed to write or what I wasn't. And so I was really fortunate that my editors understood kind of what I was trying to do, and they've stood by me, and that's been great. But as you can imagine, this is not a subject that a lot of the left particularly wants to discuss.
I mean, I could start with this because I know this. I've, believe it or not, hosted shows with real leftists. I mean, not people who are not the thing they do at CNN where they have like fake Republicans on who just sit there and get. I've tried to, and it never lasts very long because you can't really, right? But I've been in situations where I'm supposed to have conversations with real leftists. And one thing that has always come up whenever the issue of race comes up is that their, I can't say official position, but the orthodoxy on the left is anti-white racism is impossible. How do you tackle this in the book? Like, explain it, because that would be their first objection. They would say there's no such thing as anti-white racism because of the power dynamics in society.
Right. Well, even if you accept, Buck, the view that racism is prejudice plus power, it just simply assumes that white people have a bunch of power in our society in 2024 that they don't. And what I really lay out in the book, kind of starting with an overview of the civil rights movement and everything that came from it, and then laying it out in 12 different subject matter chapters, everything from looking at our education system to crime to Hollywood to healthcare to the military, is how, in fact, it couldn't be less advantageous to be white in 2024. And in fact, for that reason, you see people fleeing from a white identity whenever they feel like they can get away from that. And you see that a little bit with folks like Elizabeth Warren, but you see it on the census. You see it pretty much everywhere, that if you can identify in 2024, especially for a job application or a college application, as something other than white, that's what you're going to do. So to me, when you look at racism being prejudice plus power, it doesn't sound like white people have quite as much power as the left tries to pretend they do.
And on this, obviously, there's so much that goes into this topic, but I think that one of the challenges with it is you have to make the argument that there are people who a lot. I always say the worst leftists and like the most destructive people in America are far left wing white Americans. They're in a whole range of ways ideologically. I think they're poisoning the country more than anybody else. But one of the things you come up against is they say, well, how is it, for example, that there can be anti-white racism that white people support, meaning affirmative action and all these things, right? Like, how do you explain and tackle that issue?
Yeah, well, and first of all, I agree with you. And I say this, Buck, in the book, that really kind of the biggest villains on this are the left-wing whites, who are many of them in elite positions in society and frankly run elite institutions. At the same time, I mean, I don't want to rob agency of minority communities or rob accountability from minority political leadership to the extent that they've played into this. But I do think that the whites have been in some ways the worst actors. So I think there's some things going on. To some extent, I think they sort of solve as the good whites and those other kind of people as the bad whites. And hey, if you've got $100 million trust fund or something like this, it's really easy to talk about your privilege or your white privilege, because frankly, you're never going to be held to account for it. You can maneuver around whatever roadblocks in the system will hit a average middle-class white person. And so it's a really cheap way of what we'd call virtue signaling. And then, so I think that's the easy part to explain. The part that's a little more difficult to explain, and I may explore a little bit in a follow-up book, is you really do see when you look at social science survey data, kind of every group prefers like what we would call an in-group preference. Black people prefer Black people, Asian people prefer Asian people. And as long as that's within reasonable bounds, this is not really unexpected or a problem. Except for liberal whites. Liberal whites have a distinct out-group preference, which is to say they find whites stupider, more criminal, et cetera, when you ask them questions. And that is really hard to understand. I mean, I think you can only almost understand it in the context of the fact that mental illness is also hugely, hugely prevalent among liberal white people, and that there's somehow maybe a connection between those two things.
Oh, I think that's absolutely the case. I think that's actually what drove during the pandemic, for example, you have so many people who have left-wing victim-based politics among the American white community who I think also have all kinds of anxiety and major depressive disorder and all kinds of things like that, that make them more likely to want to have that kind of, authoritarian control mechanism that they're a part of, that they're also obedient to. I mean, you get very deep into the psychological crevices of the left and it becomes very scary very quickly. But onto the non-white component of this, or the non-white left-wing component of it, I mean, to me, it's very straightforward. And I feel like I even experienced some of this in my own college years, where I would speak to, if this came up, and it did, and I was a political science major, and we would have these discussions where Black students in particular that I came across when I was in college were pretty comfortable just saying, yeah, the system is unfair, but we like it and it benefits us. And the system used to be unfair, so this is the way it has to be now.
Yeah, well, I think this kind of gets into this notion. I'm obviously not doing one of two things in the book. I don't deny there are other forms of racism against other groups in America. I just think that anti-white racism is the most salient. And obviously, I'm not denying other types of racism in America's history. Okay, but I think there's a couple things. And I think that the kind of core of it is you get to folks like Thomas Sowell. And Thomas Sowell, who was a real touchstone for this book, kind of says that the quest for cosmic justice invariably leads to more injustice. And I think that's where you sort of wind up. And to the extent that we still want to have a thumb on the scale for people who are from lower socioeconomic status or what have you, like, that's fine. That's a discussion we can have, but it shouldn't be based simply on the color of one's skin. Furthermore, there's a lot of informal discrimination going on. And I document this a lot in my Hollywood chapter of the book, where you look and you see all the sorts of ways in which white people are denigrated in the current popular culture. And it's so much part of that that we don't even realize it's going on. It's just the environment that we swim in. And then it's like kind of trying to describe an ocean to the fish, to a fish. But we shouldn't kind of take these things for granted. And in fact, they're really sort of disturbing and negative social trends.
I want to get into what are the most disturbing trends, or rather, you know, you talk about how the subtitle of your book is how anti-white racism is tearing America apart. We want to get into the how a little bit. Okay, where is it really? We've discussed a little philosophy here of this. Where is it going really bad? But first up, from our sponsor, the Oxford Gold Group, you know, there are people who are wondering, like, why should I own gold and silver? Well, I own gold and silver, and I'll tell you why I do, and then you can make your own determination, because I think that $34 trillion in debt is something you have to take very seriously about the debasing of the currency. I think that inflation is going to continue to be a serious concern for not just months, but perhaps years ahead. I think that having a portfolio diversification and hedging against that inflation is just smart. Having tangible currency on hand is a good idea. And gold historically is a store of value that stretches back not over administrations or decades, but millennia. So check out the Oxford Gold Group. Nobody can predict the future, but you can take action to prepare for it today. The Oxford Gold Group, when it comes to owning gold and silver, are real pros. They'll make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call them right now. You may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. All right, Jeremy, where's the big problem here? Because this is the other thing you come up against. They say, oh, well, look at the numbers. Okay, so basically, if you're a like middle-class white kid, you're not getting into Harvard or any Ivy League school, or, you know, you go down the list. If you didn't have a parent who went there, you're not a recruited athlete. You know, so what? Like, life's not that bad. You know, there's a lot of sort of minimizing of how this is a problem. So why is this a big problem?
Right. Well, I'd like to say, first of all, I mean, I'm not looking to kind of play in the victimhood Olympics here, right? This is really as much, it's not about complaining to the refs here as much as it is rallying the troops and telling white people and non-white allies who are interested in having a fair system that we shouldn't be putting up with this in America. So I think that's kind of the first thing. But where do we see it? I'd say, I mean, it's in all the areas, but just to pick three that I talk about, you're seeing it in the military, where you're seeing such a extreme kind of discrimination against white soldiers who have disproportionately been the so-called tip of the spear in combat. So the most likely to be in special forces and et cetera, in real combat roles, that you've seen just in the last 5 years, I think a 40% drop in white recruits to the military, because there, many of these are second generation military. Their parents are saying, don't go in. I document lots of kind of incidences of anti-white discrimination in the book. There's plenty of other stuff I've gotten from talking to generals and admirals that I can just tell you anecdotally that I didn't put in there for reasons of confidentiality. So you've got that. You've got the way that we talk about crime and everything that happened in the summer of Floyd kind of being based on this myth of kind of, you know, evil white police officers slaughtering unarmed African Americans by the thousands. And of course, if you're familiar with the actual interracial crime statistics or the number of African Americans actually who are unarmed, who are shot by and killed by police officers each year, which is less than 10. I mean, this is these kind of things are frankly blood libels that are going. And then finally, maybe you look at history. The other kind of really key issue, I think, is these statues. So you're seeing first you have Confederate statues kind of coming down, and maybe people didn't have a problem with that. But some, if they're not Southerner, you know, like the Confederates. But now we're seeing statues of Abraham Lincoln come down. We're seeing statues of George Washington come down. We're seeing statues of Christopher Columbus going down. We're seeing a real erasure of the fundamental history of this country. And so in all these sorts of ways, we're really seeing a real damaging trend in American society.
I want to ask you how we fix this and where we go with it up next. But first up, I want to make an introduction here of a gentleman who studies our economy and world events and has a track record like very few out there. In fact, he's helped shape my own views of our nation's economics and how it is affected by politics and world events. This guy has predicted almost every major economic and financial move in both directions for the past 25 years. He exposed the corruption at the heart of a major American automobile company, and he warned of the collapse of major lenders and predicted the 2008 financial crisis. I tell you all this because he just released a new documentary, and it's among the most important videos I've seen in a long time. It's produced by my friend, the legendary economist Porter Stansberry. Details how a new financial crisis could be brewing in America and the dangers it could pose. So if you own any stocks, bonds, or have cash in the bank, you've got to watch this documentary now before it's too late. Watch it for free at www.lastelectionplot.com. That's www.lastelectionplot.com. Paid for by Porter and Company. So how are we going to fix this? Can we fix this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good news is this is not an unsolvable problem. That isn't to say that it's not a difficult problem, but we've solved a lot of difficult problems in America's history. I think there's a few different things that we can do. One is I think we've got to totally relook at our civil rights laws and kind of really look to reconstitute them to match current realities. I mean, essentially, these are all based off the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which was responding to some very real problems that we had in the U.S. at the time. But we're now 60 years past that. We have a whole set of different problems. We're not worrying about people not getting served at lunch counters now. We're seeing instead blatant employment discrimination and other types of discrimination to redress. So I think more broadly, even within our current laws, we need to have much more aggressive lawfare. So there's a bunch of things that are being done that are blatantly discriminatory against whites that are actually illegal. And they've sort of been like $20 bills lying in the middle of the road. Nobody's picked them up for a variety of reasons. And now you begin to have groups like America First Legal, Stephen Miller's group out in DC, that are really beginning to sue companies that are engaged in blatant anti-white discrimination, or whether it's universities. And we're beginning to get some wins. And I think if we just ramp that up 100x, that will help. Finally, to kind of reconstitute America's borders and the ideas around that. So you've got to have a kind of mass deportation for illegal aliens in this country, and then you've got to strengthen the borders in the way that Trump is talking about doing. And if you do that, then you could imagine reconstituting a new American identity around the folks that we have here, given a little breathing room. But as long as the border is wide open, it's really hard to solve this problem.
What do you think our border policy should be? Immigration policy, really, more broadly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we just need to dramatically reduce both there's illegal and legal immigration. There's a kind of easy out that a lot of the establishment Republicans will say, where it's illegal, good or bad, legal, good. I don't think it's that simple. I mean, obviously, we should be sending back every illegal immigrant, but I think legal immigration at the scale that we're having it also has a lot of challenges for America's national identity. And even to the extent that we have it, we're not always bringing in the best folks that we'd like from every country, which at the end of the day, I think the kind of best way to think about it is America's immigration policy serves the interest of the American people, those just interests. That's it. We're not a charity ward. We are a nation, and we should proceed on that basis, according to our interests. And that should be the thing that guides our immigration policy fundamentally.
The book is The Unprotected Class, How Anti-White Racism is Tearing America Apart. Jeremy Carl is the author. Jeremy, before I let you go, I just got to tell everybody, hopefully you'll check it out too, my friend, Crockett Coffee. Got to make sure I show everybody there. Crockett Coffee. It's delicious. CrockettCoffee.com. Please go subscribe. Get yourself some delicious Crockett Coffee. Here's what happens. It'll be the best coffee you ever had. It's all about America, freedom, and the frontier spirit. You can drink your Crockett coffee while reading a book, say like The Unprotected Class, and enjoy yourself in the process. Jeremy, thank you so much for being here, my friend. Good luck on the book, and I respect the bravery in writing it. So thank you.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate that. It's actually been going real well.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and built specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah.
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.